Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Tom Lavero is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes, give us his perspective on what the Nationals are doing. He has an article about how Mark Lerner is a penny-pinching, know-nothing owner. So we will hear from Tom Lavero coming up in 20 minutes. Sean Casey will join us from the MLB Network coming up at 8:25. He's a character.
Yeah, he'll be good.
Is this true? I've never heard this story. Lavero has in here that I'm sure it was reported, and I just never picked up on it, that Mark and Ted made a deal with Boris to sign Strasburg to that big deal behind Rizzo's back. Has that been reported? The general manager would never have made such a ridiculous contract, was frozen out.
I had never heard that.
Well, you know what? It's probably true. You should text Mike and ask him if that's true. I didn't know that was reported.
Well, we can hear Lavero's side of that coming up in 20 minutes. I don't think he's going to put something out there that's not true. So we'll talk to Lavero shortly. EB, you though kind of opened the show talking about Cam Whitmore. And I don't know if you want to dive deeper into it. The Wizards' first summer league game is on Friday.
I've been checking them out, waiting for the Wiz.
They're starting on Friday.
Right.
I think because they started with like the Utah Summer League. They're in the Vegas Summer League.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Utah Summer League, just a few games, few teams.
But I've seen there's been two Ace Bailey games so far, right? First one, maybe he didn't have as much of an impact offensively, but he made some defensive plays. And I saw, I guess, last night, maybe he had like 18 or something.
Yep.
I
saw
like
that
18
good.
And 7 last night.
One of his guys from his like entourage, whatever, was an assistant coach in the Summer League. It was kind of getting some controversy, kind of the people that he surrounds himself with. There are some questions. But anyway. Summer League's about to heat up for the Wizards, but you seem excited about this Cam Whitmore deal.
Well, listen, I'm not saying it's like a franchise changer. I just think he's a young talent. Well, maybe even like in the vein of an Anthony Johnson who has just a ton of potential. And let's see.
He's so young.
So young.
I think he just turned 21 today, maybe.
Right. Right. And he's shown flashes. I don't know.
But for whatever reason, now he did have a knee issue in his first year, and he missed some time, and who knows, I think he was out 3 weeks or a month. But, you know, for whatever reason, if you just read the recaps of the trade, they just couldn't find a spot for him.
Right.
Which I don't understand, because if you have a player that's talented and he's going to produce.
Well, you don't think you have, have a glut at that position?
Maybe that might be the case. But when you trade a player just for two second rounders, now look, those second rounders might be in the early second round of those drafts, but you got to find a spot for a real talented kid. I like him. I think he's good. You know, he's young. He only played 1 year at Villanova. He averaged 12.5 his rookie year. He had that injury and then it dipped down a little bit. But if you look at his game log, when he got significant minutes, he had some big games. He had 34 against the Lakers.
27 against OKC.
Yeah, so
I think Dawkins is just trying to assemble talent. The way that I look at it,
I agree.
I'm sure there's a little more method to the madness. Mm-hmm. But the way that I look at it, and I think I said this before, is it's almost a Lord of the Flies mentality. Like I think they're just trying to bring in as many guys, and whoever emerges, they hope that somebody emerges. They're okay with it. So it's almost a volume play, right?
Sure.
Bring in a volume of these guys who are all 19, 20 years old. I mean. It's incredible that he's been in the league for two seasons and he's still only 20 years old, but that's what he is. He's 6'7". So I would toss him in a pile with Koulibaly, who of course was drafted high by the Wizards. That was Dawkins' first selection. But Koulibaly, you know, is a forward. Whitmore, you might see more of as a guard, but really these are guys who are just swing players,
somewhat
right?
Interchangeable, yeah.
Right. Then I would throw George in the mix there. Keyshawn George. I would throw Trey Johnson, who's skinny. He seems to be more of a guard.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have Corey Kispert. I don't know if he's on the outside looking in because he's old compared to these guys. And you got about five or six guys that all kind of play the same swing type of position. And they're just looking for one or two of them to emerge. That's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to be a star. He could be a guy that's, you know, gives you 12 to 14, you know, in his peak as a role player.
So what I remember about Cam from last year, everybody was excited after the first season and the first summer league. He obviously took a back step last year, but there was a couple incidents that I remember. There was one time. So he's been branded already as selfish and not a team player.
Mm-hmm.
And that when he goes in the game, he only cares about himself. I'm not saying that that's necessarily true. I'm just saying that's what Rocket fans, I remember my next door neighbor and my good friend is a huge Rockets fan. So we talk about Cam often.
Well, and to back you up, he's putting up 10 shots in 18 minutes of play.
Yeah, he's firing. Mm-hmm. But there were times last year where the Rockets are going on a run, everyone's celebrating, Cam sitting on the bench pouting, not high-fiving anybody. He's getting in fights in the middle of the game with Jalen Green. There were a couple incidents that just make it seem like this guy isn't a fit on a championship team. Now, look, coming to the Wizards, you want to take as many shots at guys like this as you can to hopefully get something out of him, or maybe he matures, he turns into something. So from our end, it's no big deal. I just don't think the Rockets felt like he was a good championship piece.
Yeah, they didn't want him, clearly. I don't think it had anything to do with the other guys on the roster.
And you could kind of see
they didn't like him as a player.
They didn't like his personality.
Okay. Maybe he's immature. That could be true.
A guy that's that talented falls in the draft all the way down to whatever it was, 23, and then is traded 2 years later for two meaningless second round picks. Yeah. Something is off there.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see. I mean, he's talented. Nothing to lose.
I totally agree with that. He probably would have gone higher in the draft if it wasn't for, because I'm sure he had those issues in college too. If he would have stayed in college for 2 or 3 years, he would have put up stupid numbers. But he comes out after 1 year. He was, I think it was the 21st pick or the 20th pick, something like that.
It was in the 20s.
But
I thought it was 22nd.
I agree with you. For whatever reason, Houston can say, look, we just had too many. We just couldn't find a fit for him talent-wise. They didn't like him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give up on a kid that you drafted in the first round 2 years prior who's athletic. If you and give them up for second round picks, you don't do that.
I just liked it as an afterthought move that they made, and that my eyebrows were raised. Mm-hmm. That's all.
But maybe if he matures over the next 2 or 3 years and realizes, hey, you know what, I got to be a better team player, or I'm going to find myself, you know, riding benches the rest of my career, if not out of the league.
If you were to bet, you would say he's likely to be a journeyman. But I like the skill set, and he's still young enough that there might be something there.
And I like the fact that you're only giving up second-round picks. And that's why Will Dawkins was making all these deals for all these. He's got 100 second-round picks that he can move for players like this, and he's just taking a shot.
Yeah, I like it. See, now I was wondering, because he's in his third year, would he be a guy that would play in the summer league? They probably would say, hey, once you get to know some of the guys.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I bet you they would. I bet you he would do it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he thinks he's above it, but
I looked at their summer league roster a few days ago, and there were only like three names which jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if they've updated.
Now, the Rockets claim that they had multiple offers for Whitmore, and if this was the best one, because it clearly was the best one, they claim they wanted to trade him to a team that where he could actually fit in and possibly play.
They claim that they cared about what happened to
him? And, you know, they're trading him back home because he's from the DMV.
Yeah.
So
maybe they did. Maybe they liked the kid.
I don't believe
that. You don't think it's possible that maybe the front office, they liked the kid, but they knew it just wasn't a fit?
No, I believe that NBA teams make the best deal for their team.
So I believe
that this was probably the best deal on the table.
So the Wizards did announce their summer league roster.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I see it with all the guys now, and he is not part of it.
Okay.
Alex Saris.
Mm-hmm.
This will be his second season. Keyshawn George.
Second year guys, it's not unusual.
Trey Johnson.
Third year guys, unless you're like a total journeyman, probably a little bit more unusual.
I'm surprised. I don't think I see Bob Carrington. But all the rest of the guys that they've drafted in the last couple of seasons are there.
Right.
And then a lot of people you've never heard of.
Where's Johnny Davis? Is he in China yet? Is he still in the league anywhere?
Probably.
Is it at the back of a roster somewhere? I don't know, dude.
By the way, Cam Whitmore turns 21. He becomes legal today.
Well, he'll have his first drink today.
He's going to have his first drink. Never drank in college.
Right. Anyway.
Although I have no idea.
Listen, I'm not saying it's going to change anything. I just liked it. It raised my eyebrows when I saw that they picked him up. Because he's a talented player. You know?
Got nothing to lose.
I don't think you have anything to lose. Have they come out yet with the win-loss totals for 25-26?
Oh, I'm sure.
Where do the Wiz fall?
Look,
are they going to be like the exact same number?
Just where were they? About 17 and a half?
I mean,
year? I can't remember.
I
would think it would be higher than that just based on what they added.
Was that the number? I thought the number was higher and they went below it.
Wait, no, you know what? It was 20 and a half. It was 20 and a half.
Right, and they ended up below it, right?
Yeah, I don't see the win totals out just yet.
Okay.
Now, maybe on some site there. I'm just on FanDuel. I don't see it.
It's going to be hard to endure another 20-win season.
I think
it's going to be like that.
Ugh.
I might be slightly better. It depends on how long they keep C.J. McCollum and how much they play him. Chris Middleton, same thing. Depends on his health. Because you have some veterans that can play.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Smart.
But they don't want to play him that much.
Well, maybe they'll move him. I saw Linnell was tweeting that the Knicks were sniffing around, allegedly, for Marcus Smart. Maybe they are.
All right. This is from Vegas Insider. They're Wizards at 22.5.
22.5. So a couple wins
slightly
better.
Slightly better than last year.
And it's a brutal season to go 22-60.
To answer your question, by the way, Johnny Davis, who the Wizards drafted a few years ago in the first round, is now playing for the Westchester Knicks in the G League.
Okay, he's in the G League. Who's a worse first-round pick, Malcolm Forbes or Johnny Davis?
Malcolm Forbes, I almost... The name sounds familiar. Malcolm Forbes?
Wasn't that his name? The skinny corner for...
Emmanuel Forbes.
Emmanuel, sorry.
Yeah, he threw me
Malcolm,
off.
I'm sorry. Emmanuel Forbes. The skinny corner.
I think Johnny Davis was worse.
I don't know, dude. Manny Forbes did nothing.
He played. I mean, he played more than Johnny Davis. I know that.
Is he still with the Rams?
Yeah.
Or they released him?
No, he's there.
Man, he's still there.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, what hurts the most is that Jalen Williams was drafted right after Johnny Davis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's, you know, borderline superstar now.
Right. Well,
if you could
different regime.
I think if you could get the Wizards, I'm looking here on another site, they're at 19.5. I think if you could get the Wizards at 20 or less, I would go over.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't feel great about it.
No, of course not. I mean, I wouldn't think that they're going to win 30 games, but I think they could be, depending on what they do with these guys, like CJ.
If you had,
I think they could be in that 23.
If you had Will Dawkins and you sat him down, you're having a beer, do you think he'd tell you, yeah, we're going to bottom out again this year, but then the following year, we're going to try to win like 35 or 40?
I think that's the hope.
That's the hope.
The problem is, if they get shafted with another terrible lottery selection,
well, I mean, the likelihood
they might not
get
a difference maker.
We'll have like an 85% chance of not getting a top pick.
Yeah, but he's also hopeful that these guys are going to develop.
I mean, I would think that you would want to see some improvement from last year.
I would too, but if you're predicted to only win 22 games, that's like kind of the same. It's not even really like improvement.
Yeah, 19 to 22.
Like 18 wins to 22 wins or whatever, that's not really improvement.
You're 100% right.
It's just god awful.
You're right. But maybe they surprise people and win 25.
I guess that's marginally better.
It is.
I guess.
They'll definitely be looking to get something for Kispert. They got to trade Kispert now.
They have to trade Kispert.
He just doesn't really have a fit on this team, and somebody else could probably use him or would give up something for him. You know, you got your veteran guys in like Middleton that you need to play a little bit for trade value. And then you got the young guys you got to play. There are so many wings on this team. Someone's got to go.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kispert will be a piece.
Mm-hmm. Although, at some point, you got to decide on the pieces that you want to keep, though.
Got to be better. Like, he's good.
But
he's like
need, a good. Well, Kispert's pre Will Dawkins, so
yeah, he's a good NBA player. But you need to see, player,
but you
not,
need to see improvement, certainly from Koulibaly, big time improvement from him, and Sarr's numbers need to go up.
Yeah. I think Sarr's will.
Yeah, I think if Koulibaly and Sarr's numbers go up, and you couple that with the veterans they've got, I mean, they're not going to the playoffs. I get it, but I think you'll see in a more improved win total.
Let's see how many of these veterans are really around after a month or two.
I can't believe I'm talking about going over the 20 games.
You're just a DJ.
I might do it, though.
All right, coming up next, you went over the Nats total. That's looking like a big loser.
Oh, that's a loser. I've already done the math on that. They'd have to go, they'd have to be on a big time, you know, hot streak in the second half. Be 4 or 5 games under 500 for the second half. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, of course, the Nats pulled the plug on both Mike Rizzo, mm-hmm. their GM, president of baseball operations, and Davey Martinez, the manager. Coming up next, Tom Lavero will give us his take on who's to blame for the situation.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Joining us right now, a voice you're familiar with. He jumps on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Tom Lavero, Washington Times columnist. Hey, Tom.
How you doing this morning, boys?
Hey, what's
doing
up?
Great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
You know what I like about your columns is you really pull your punches.
Well, I always tell people I don't type with velvet gloves.
Right.
No, you do not.
So immediately when you heard the news, you just were just angry at the learners? Or like, did it take you a while to process it? Or what was your initial instinct?
Well, I mean, look, you can't be too surprised at some kind of firing there.
Right.
Because I mean, what they were going through. I mean, it's you know, their record, the losing streak that they had gone through. Like I think Bishop pointed out, if you were going to do something with the manager at that point, that would have seemed to have been the time to do it.
Yeah.
But Mike Rizzo, I was really surprised at.
Right.
Much more than Davey. Because I don't think they're going to be able to do better in that job than Mike Rizzo.
Right. You actually, just a little side note, you reported in there, maybe it was heavily reported at the time and I just missed it, that the Strauss deal was put together by Ted and Mike had nothing to do with it. And Mike never would have approved of that. Was that reported at the time?
No, that wasn't. That's, I mean, I've reported it since then a couple of times, but, you know, it didn't get much attention. That basically, look, there were a number of times that that Ted Lerner and Scott Boras made deals bypassing Mike Rizzo. And
really?
That was certainly the most damaging one, the Strasburg one, because that handcuffed Rizzo moving forward in this whole rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, you had that on good authority, like immediately, as soon as that deal was done.
No, not immediately.
No,
no, it was after that.
Uh huh.
It wasn't immediately, but I have it on good authority.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, what's going to change for the learners to start spending money? That's what the fans have grown increasingly frustrated, right? That the ownership hasn't seemed to spend any money. So, what's going to change? They bring in a new manager, whatever. And we'll see what happens here with DiBartolo, but they have to decide to spend money if this team's going to turn it around.
You would think so, okay? And I would say to people, and you know the learners, you know how they operate in their businesses, period, let alone their baseball businesses. They're not going to change the way they do business that they've done over the years. I don't see them all of a sudden having an epiphany and saying, wow, you know, we really have to start spending money. I don't see if they weren't going to change for Mike Rizzo, who has been their protector and friend for almost 20 years, I don't see them changing for an outsider. I just don't see the learners ever changing the way they do business for any reason.
I was dumb enough to say on the air, and I kind of have believed it the last couple years, and I admit I'm a fairly dumb person, that I kind of understood the idea of not investing in the team when they're going to be awful, they're going through this rebuild, and I was naive and stupid enough to think that when they felt like they were on the verge of being competitive, they would start spending again. Was that just never going to happen?
Well, it is interesting. When I always talked about, like last year, Mike felt that the team he was putting on the field last year, the young core, could have competed a little bit. They wound up winning 71 games, which was higher than anyone expected. And Mike, you know, wanted to spend a little bit more. Now, that's not Jason Worth, $130 million contract money, or Max Scherzer money. That's, you know, modest free agent deals, maybe 3 years, $60 million here, you know, maybe 2 years, $50 million there. And they then after going on TV and Mark Lerner saying that Mike has the resources, all he's got to do is ask for them, you know, they turned them down. And they did it again this year. He wanted to bring in a couple of mid-level free agents, basically, and they said no. You can't have the money. I mean, they're spending $65 million this year on their active payroll.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what they're spending on Strasburg is more than half of their total active payroll.
Right.
Right.
Is it on some
and in that division, Tom? You know that you have no shot in that because every other owner besides the Marlins is going to spend at least $200 million.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Look, you can take the Mets out of the equation.
Yeah.
Because that's Steve Cohen. He's an outlier. He's going to do whatever they have to do. And the Braves have, from their new stadium complex, have a pretty good new revenue stream. But I think the Phillies are a legitimate argument. I mean, you know, I think you have an owner there who has decided that it's a smart business for him to spend money. And that stadium was filled almost every night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Phillies are relevant in a sports town where the Eagles have won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the Phillies are always the best comparison. And I don't think it's unreasonable for Washington to act like, at least, they're in the same neighborhood as Philadelphia is.
Do you think on some level, I joked about it yesterday, but look, let's be honest, nobody wants to be fired. They want to leave on their own terms. But that yesterday was Mike Rizzo Liberation Day, right? That he finally gets away and he can, you know, do whatever he wants. If he wants to stay in baseball, I'm sure he'll work with whoever. Maybe not as a GM right away. But on some level, do you think Mike was relieved to be out from underneath this ownership group?
Oh, I think so. I think there's a level of fatigue that set in for both him and Davey. Where they look, Mike is very competitive. You guys know Mike very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very competitive guy.
Yeah.
And I think he really was determined to be able to, you know, to build this back up again. But there's a level of fatigue that sets in, not just when you're losing, but when you're coming to the ballpark every day and you feel like you're fighting against your own team.
Right.
As opposed to the team you're playing.
Yeah.
And I think they felt that. Here's the key. You go back and look at some of the quotes from both Davey and Mike when they would talk about, you know, building the team. At some point, they would use some version of hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, you know, bring more players in when the time is right. Hopefully is a word that springs up a lot. They were talking about their owners there.
Right. When did they become kind of tied at the hip? Because Mike had hired and fired other managers, but he certainly wasn't going to scapegoat Davey, right or wrong, down the stretch. That was obvious.
Yeah. I think Mike felt that Davey, look, I know a lot of fans were not happy with Davey, and sometimes the team's play reflected that. But I think the most important thing a manager does is manage a clubhouse. Mm-hmm. I think it's the hardest thing they do in this day and age. I think it's the most important. I'd say it's 80% of the job is managing that clubhouse mm-hmm. and keeping them competitive and avoiding any fires inside that room. And Davey was as good as anybody at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keeping that team on the field, ready to play, never quitting. Their play may have been frustrating at times. They may have made some knucklehead mistakes at times, but they never laid down, they never quit, and there were never any particular issues in the clubhouse, which is hard to do when you don't have veteran leadership, you know, inside a clubhouse to do that. So I think Mike really recognized that Davey was a very good manager for this group and was cut from the same mold as him. Really, really took the losing to heart.
Talking to Tom Lavero from the Washington Times about the national situation, they, of course, fire their manager, Davey Martinez, and also Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball ops, GM, is out. All right, so let's kind of get back to the ownership situation. A couple years ago, we heard they were looking to sell. Now we haven't heard very much. In the last couple of years, Mark Lerner may have changed his mind. What have you heard? What's going on there? Because, you know, EB brought up this comparison to Dan Snyder yesterday, and I thought it was pretty apropos. The fans, they're over Lerner owning the team. What's going on with the ownership reins?
Well, you know, there's crickets, basically, in terms of selling the team. There's been a family divide among selling the team. There are several family members that want to sell it. Mark Lerner does not want to sell the team, has not wanted to sell the team. But the mystery is there's not people lining up around around South Capitol Street looking to buy the team.
They're just like one guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only name of note that has ever surfaced is Ted Leonsis.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm not sure anyone is looking forward to that or not, because I think his main concern is to get programming for his Monumental Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, baseball franchises don't seem to be generating the kind of revenue for sale that, let's say, NBA teams do. Certainly not NFL teams, but even NBA teams do. You saw Artie Moreno a couple years ago had the Angels on the market for a long time and pulled them off in part because he never got the offers that he expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Twins have been going through a long, lengthy process to try to sell that franchise, and that's not going to sell for over $2 billion. The Orioles sold for $1.7 billion. I think the Lerner's expected to get well above $2 billion for this team,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Plus, again, the Lerner's are difficult to do business with, and as complicated as a team sale, that's going to be a hard process to go through.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you know, you may be right that Mark doesn't want to sell the team. I was told by someone who knows Mark pretty well that he would sell it at a certain number, but that had to be over $2 billion. So that had to be in that 2.2 range, 2.3. And now Ted never told us the number that he offered, but we kind of could gather based on his answers to our questions that it was well below two that he offered. So that's why that deal didn't happen. The question is, Tom, this, you know, DiPartolo and then obviously Cairo, they may not be here next year, but whoever is the GM next year, are they going to be dealing with the same nonsense that Rizzo was dealing with? They've got one $10 million player on this roster, and that's Nate Lowe. And I'm sorry, and Nate Lowe's a good, you know, a decent player, certainly a good defensive player, but not a great hitter. You got to do better than Nate Lowe in free agency. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. And here's the thing. Mike Rizzo wanted to sign a power-hitting first baseman this offseason.
Correct.
So he wanted to sign Christian Walker.
Right.
The Arizona Diamondbacks first baseman.
Now he's with Houston.
Yeah, perennial 30 home run a year hitter. Okay. Him and Davey went to Christian Walker's house and visited with him and talked about a 3-year, $60 million deal.
Yep.
Okay. That's a very reasonable mid level amount of money.
Right.
Lerner said no.
Right.
You can't do it. So as a result of that, Mike came up with a good plan B and trading for you know, for the first baseman he got from the Rangers. But he had to give up their best reliever, who wasn't Kyle Finnegan, Robert Garcia, to do that. And they could use Garcia in that bullpen now.
And Walker ended up signing with Houston for that number.
Yes, exactly that. He's been struggling this year, but you look at his numbers, they're pretty close to what's going on in Washington. So I don't see the Lerners changing the way they do business. And whoever takes this job, and if they go outside and hire somebody, look, we saw people came to work for Dan Snyder. Okay, so people will come to work for the Lerners. Maybe not good people, maybe not smart people, but people will take the job because there's always so many of these jobs available. And everybody will think they're the ones that can manage upward, mm-hmm. like Mike always used to talk about. You know, that was his primary job, basically, to manage upward. They'll find somebody, but I don't see the way they do business changing.
Well, I mean, eventually the fans are just going to say, all right, it's done. We've waited 5 years. I know you pointed out that there was a lot of people at Nats Park this past weekend, but they did play Boston. I mean, Boston's going to bring their fans. So if they were playing the White Sox, there's no way they would have had 26, 28,000, whatever it was. But I mean, at some point, the fans are going to start seeing 10, 12,000 fans if they're going to continue to win 65 games.
Yes. And you saw that was going on in Baltimore for a while, and then eventually they got sold. But I don't know if we're at that point yet. Mm-hmm. We're at the point where there's such an embarrassment or such a drain that they've got no choice to sell. I don't think we're at that point yet. I mean, there's a lot of teams. Look, the Pirates have operated that way for years. You know, basically, there's a lot of people who will just show up to watch a baseball game, and there's always visiting fans when their team comes to town to see their team play.
Tom, good stuff. It's Tom Lavera from Washington Times. Always great catching up.
Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, Tom. Thank you, buddy.
It's Tom Lavero from the Washington Times. We'll get Sean Casey's perspective from the MLB Network coming up at 8:25 here on The Junkie.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Strabby, I was driving down Main Avenue coming to work today, and usually the lights are all synced up, but there's one light right before I get to the overpass right there at what was that, North Capitol?
Yeah, South Capitol.
South Capitol, sorry. It always, I can kind of tell when it's going to, you can just read the timer on the walk clock.
Yeah.
And I ran a red light. I just said, F it. And coming out on the next street was a cop. I ran that red light right in front of the cop.
He didn't feel like dealing with you?
He just went right across the street.
Isn't there flashing cameras down there all the time?
Yeah.
There might be, but I don't think there is at that particular one because I've run it before.
The one right off the ramp there?
No, it's before that. It's before.
Oh, maybe coming down.
It's by those basketball courts.
Yeah, there's a camera light.
Yeah, there's definitely a camera light there.
Oh well, I'm getting the ticket then. I didn't see it. I didn't see it flash. Don't they usually flash?
I've seen it flash many times, but I saw someone run that light a couple days ago and it didn't flash.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I ran that thing and the cop just said, F it. I don't care.
So you just grew impatient.
Well, I was just, if I had stopped, I would have had to slam on my brakes to stop. And I just said, F it. I'm just going to, and I didn't see the cop. I didn't see him until it was too late when I was going through the light. The cop pulled out and I said, oh, he's going to pull me over, but he didn't. But I don't know. I might get a ticket. I'll be bitter.
Speaking of the law,
it'll be $200 probably.
Pretty crazy story coming out of Silver Spring, Leisure World.
Yeah, this is crazy.
This is the day after the 4th of July on July 5th. Mm-hmm. There was a murder.
Drive by Leisure World 4 or 5 times a week.
An 80-year-old man killed his 78-year-old wife. They were having an argument about his doctor.
What's the old clip we used to play with the old guy that killed his wife?
Oh, yeah.
Freddie Wilhite?
Yeah.
Freddie Wilhite.
Did we have that, or we just banned it?
No, it's there.
Takes his thing.
Yeah.
So they're having a fight about his doctor, and he pushes his wife to the floor. She's 78.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's 80.
That's like attempted murder, just pushing your 78-year-old wife to the floor.
Then he gets on top of her, and he pushed a hammer against her throat. Police then found a knife and a screwdriver with his wife's blood all over it. So he got the whole toolbox out, being arrested for first-degree murder.
Mm. He's got a kind of a strange name, Vivian Nation.
So how did
the guy's name?
So how did he ultimately what was the
killed her with a hammer and a knife?
He put her
bludgeoned her, I guess.
He pushed her down to the floor. The cops said they pushed her down. She hit her head, and she was out cold. And then he took a hammer to her throat. I don't know if he stabbed her with the hammer or just started to pound her with the hammer. But then he stabbed her with a knife a bunch
and
of times.
And this is a guy like with no criminal background, nothing, just lost his mind. At the end of his run.
Lost his mind.
Terrible way to go.
Been married 13 years at Leisure World.
Yeah.
The judge ordered a cognitive evaluation, so.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably lost it. He had a bunch of strokes, I think, I've read.
I mean,
but it's not in good health.
Super sad.
When you lose it, though, don't you still know right from wrong, even though you've kind of lost? I guess not. I guess it's possible. Don't some people, like, lose it and they grope, like, their nurses and, like, they just, like, lose it?
Yeah.
When they get really old, right?
Of course.
They get inappropriate.
Like, don't they, like, whip it out?
They grab the nurse's ass. You know, just get totally, they've just lost it. But like, murdering someone... You could maybe think, okay, he's lost it. He thinks it's his wife. He's just being flirtatious. He's grabbing the nurse's ass. He's just, like, lost. But to murder someone...
It's like a step above.
It's a step above, because, like, you know that's wrong.
Now,
even if you've lost it.
These were not lifelong lovers. I think they've been married for 13 years. So.
Correct.
It's a good run, though. And you're 80. Like, I just don't know that you would have... How much passion at 80?
Oh, there's some angry 80-year-olds, dude. I used to go to the Safeway around there, the Giant over there, man. It's a pain in the ass. With all those old...
I think that by the time you're 80, you should theoretically...
Care less?
Be able to let things go easier.
No, they're ornery. They're as ornery as ever.
Like, do you think Jason's grudges that he holds on to will be greater when he's 80?
Maybe.
Or he'll be able to, like,
be
let
ornery.
It go.
I will be. Yeah.
Jason will be ornery.
100%.
Yeah.
The old man yelling.
He's not going to be like chill.
But I'm not going to push Teresa to the floor and stab her with a hammer. I promise you that. If I'm alive at 80, who knows?
Yeah. It's a terrible story.
That's got to be traumatizing for all the other old fogies who live there.
Right.
Don't ever expect something like that.
I went and visited my uncle, right, when I was in Chicago, and we had our little golf trip. And I went out there a day early so I could visit my aunt and uncle, and they live in a retirement community. I guess you could say it's assisted living, although nobody really assists them. And everyone's, like, walking around in the walkers and everything. They're all happy.
Oh, yeah?
They were all happy. I actually even said to my mother, who is, like, totally averse to it, she wants to be around young people, she doesn't want to be around older people. I said, Mom, Uncle George and Aunt Grace, they're so happy. They go and they have their dinner friends. They have their church friends. They might go and, you know.
Have activities.
They have a few activities they might do.
Yeah.
My mother is completely against the idea of it.
Hmm.
But these folks were happy. Now, I couldn't imagine any of them stabbing anybody. I didn't see it. They all seemed happy.
That reminds me of that place in Florida with all the retirees.
With all the STDs.
The villages.
STDs. Yeah, the villages.
Yeah. Everyone's butt happy having sex with each other.
Yeah, well, they're all having sex with each other.
Yeah. Having a good final run.
The villages must be huge.
It is.
Yeah.
Because I know guys that have talked about moving in. Like, guys in their 50s.
You can't punt at 50.
I know one guy's like a fireman. And he's like retired. And he was like, yeah, he's going to move to Florida and go move into the villages. Retired fireman.
Kevin Schaefer.
He'll clean up.
Didn't he move to Florida, though? He's coaching softball.
Did he? Yeah, he moved to Florida and retired.
Yeah, but he's coaching, though.
I think he's actually
like a Division I softball coach now.
Florida Atlantic.
Come slide down my fire pole.
Yeah, we go down to the Villages, retire, play golf.
90,000 people live in the Villages.
Yeah, it must be massive.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of donks.
My cousin's mom moved there from Puerto Rico, and she's always raved about it.
Uh-huh. She have a new boyfriend or anything?
Well, she's been remarried twice. She married somebody, then he died,
right?
And married another one.
Right. Why not? They're getting after it down there. Just don't stab them with a hammer. Oh. That
I'm going to guess that the hammer was the bludgeoning and the stabbing was the screwdriver.
Screwdriver, yeah.
Probably.
That's,
and I forget what other tool he used in the toolbox.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. No, he lost it. 80-year-old.
Yep, he did.
And now he'll be in jail for the rest of his life.
Well, his life won't last very long.
All right, when we come back, I know we're going to have Sean Casey at 825, right? He's MLB guy. I think we've had Sean on the show before. Through the
University
years.
Of Richmond.
And he'll give us his take on everything that's going on with the Nats. But next, let's get back into the Commanders. I know Drab here wants to talk about the stadium and name change stuff and, you know, all that. I think we could still touch on the McLaurin deal.
You know, we're only 19
Schefter
days.
Schefter was talking about the McLaurin deal
19
yesterday.
Days away from camp.
Yeah. And then it's going to be all football all the time.
Are you off next week?
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
I don't know, but I don't think so.
I think all four of us are here next week.
I think we're all working.
That'd be kind of shocking.
Yeah. I'm flying to New York this weekend, but I'll be back Monday night or Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah. So let's get into the Commanders next. And then 8:25, we'll have Sean Casey from MLB Network. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.